The following program is brought to you in living color.
Why don't we try my wine?
Well, I've never been interested in domestic wine.
This isn't exactly domestic. Well, you like it, don't you?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, it's not really bad.
Tom, did you spend more than 50 cents for this?
50 cents for... You mean you don't like this wine?
Say, I got a good mind to return it and make them give you your money back.
It's the Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time. WTSO.com. Now, here's the goddess of the grape, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you were listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our sunning, it's happy, soon to be fat little self, grape. Yes, it is off and rolling at the grape farms around the country. All of our little buddies are popping out and getting ready to make a great 2013 vintage. And, of course, that always makes me happy. But the word vintage itself is going to follow and focus in on today's show. So I just want you to remember that word, because that's actually what we're looking at today. We're looking at words. Now, I tried to think about of a way to catchphrase this, that we were going to look at names, and I was terrified y'all were going to think that we were going to be discussing labels again. So, but we are going to look at specific words in the wine industry, in the wine business, in bottling, labeling, making, production, importing, exporting, and talk about how it impacts you and how it impacts the overall business. But we also get to have a very exciting guest today. Before I get totally off topic, we are going to have Gustavo Gonzalez. He's the winemaker of Mira Winery. Now, for those of you who are loyal listeners, just like Kent is for sure.
Oh, yes.
You will remember back in February that Mira Winery are these great people who came up with the idea of aging wine in Charleston Harbor. And on May 22nd, they pulled the wine that they had been aging out of Charleston Harbor, and they have since done some taste tests. So we're going to have them join us today and talk about the difference between their landlocked wines and the wines that have been hanging out in the bottom of the ocean.
What is your prediction?
My prediction that the ones that were at the bottom of the ocean are going to be a lot more open. I think they're going to be softer. I think they're going to be rounder. I mean, bottom line is they've been cooler. They've been bounced around a little bit. I think they're going to be broader scoped. We'll see. I'd say that those that have been hanging out at the winery are probably still a little tight, a little young. But I could be wrong.
Do you ever wonder about the wine bottles that perished in the Titanic?
It's not that they perished. Actually, that was a really big news deal for a while. And I want to say, wasn't James Cameron real involved with getting down in a submarine and going down in there? There was actually, I believe... I know I'm going to get corrected on this. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I want to say 1902 or 1903 was, no, 1922 was the very first true vintage of Dom. And in doing so, there were cases and cases of Dom on the boat because it was the White Star line. And back
now, this
then,
would have been 1912 that the ship
then
went down.
So, well, okay, it's 1902 then, because I was sitting here going back and forth. Was it 1902 or 1922? 1902, 1922. So there, thank you. You have corrected it for me. And they have actually, I think James Cameron was getting permission, because anytime you pull something off the Titanic, it's considered an historical artifact. It belongs to the insurance company, all this kind of thing. But I know that people have been eyeballing the champagne that is down there. And, you know, whether it's pulling it up to see if it's any good, pulling it up because it's the first vintage, pulling it up because it was on the Titanic. So I don't know where all that is. But I do know that there is some down there, and I know that people are working towards getting their little paws on it.
And we did find bottles intact, I guess.
Yes, there are bottles intact down there.
Okay.
Absolutely. So we shall see on both. I'm very much looking forward to talking to Gustavo today and getting his impressions. But before we get that far along, again, I want you to keep in mind that today at The Crush, we're going to discuss words. But before I get there, again, I'm going to keep you in suspense. I'm going to give you today's wine recommendations. My white wine recommendation is Michele Chiarlo Nivole, N-I-V-O-L-E, Moscato d'Asti, D-O-C-G. I love this wine. I have loved this wine for ages. I actually went back through the notes from some of the very first Wine Crush that ever aired. And on the first five shows, this was one of my wine recommendations. And it continues to be something that I absolutely love. Generally, you can find this in a dessert section. It comes in a 375-milliliter bottle. It is Moscato from Italy. And, of course, Moscato di Asti is Moscato from Asti. And this is grown on 272 acres in the Piedmont. It is slow fermented. It uses natural yeast. It takes its time. It is not, because the way they ferment the wine, the fact they let it do it naturally on their regular yeast, it keeps it to a lower level of alcohol. It has a nice sweetness to it, but it's not overly sweet. It's great with pastries, it's great with strawberries, great with peaches, because ultimately when you taste it, you get peaches, you get apricot. I get kind of a creaminess to it. I almost get a hint of lemon too. Absolutely fabulous wine. Definitely something I'd recommend. Whether you're doing brunch service, whether you're doing a nice lunch, whether you're doing a pretty afternoon on the patio. And of course, you can always serve it as a dessert wine after meal. This is absolutely perfect. So your white wine for today, Michele Chiarlo Nivole, N-I-V-O-L-E. Your red wine recommendation is from Newton Vineyard. And this is the 2009 vintage, The Puzzle. And, of course, you know that I like my blends. I love Meritage blends. I love it when grapes get together and play together. These are all estate-grown grapes out of Spring Mountain, so the whole thing is estate. And what happens is the reason why they call it the puzzle is there's probably, I'm going to guess, 100 different little parcels on Spring Mountain where they put everything separately, and then the winemaker gets together and puts it together like you would a jigsaw puzzle. And in doing so, what he's putting together is Cabernet, Merlot, Petit Verdot, Cabernet Franc, and Malbec. And once you get it all put together, this thing is lush. It's easy to drink. It's got that great blackberry flavor that you expect off of Spring Mountain. But it's great. You get a little bit of sage. You get a little greenness. You get juniper in this, which is a good juniper. And, of course, you get your chocolate. You get your cedar that you expect off Spring Mountain. If you have a piece of meat, this wine will pair with it. I mean, it's just that simple. Anyone who's eating meat definitely will love this. But again, Newton Vineyard, 2009 vintage, The Puzzle, and it's all estate grown. So definitely check that out if you can find it. I know a lot of you are familiar with Newton, but you may not have seen The Puzzle. So you will notice that I emphasized several things when I did that wine recommendation. And ultimately, there was a reason for that. When we sit down and we look about wine, we're all influenced by the packaging, the wording, the labeling. Things can actually go ahead and make sure that they either sell or they convey information. Everything on a label should do something for you. And we have gotten to a point with these different words that words have an impact on you and will change the way you think about things. So there's a couple interesting news articles that I'm going to get into. But actually, Kent, I'm very happy about the one I'm going to talk about right before this small little break.
What's that one?
They have done some research, and they have actually proven that 3 glasses of champagne a week will slow memory loss. It actually can reverse it.
Yeah, I read that, but I can't remember where.
This is... Aren't you funny? But the quotation actually works. Champagne usually marks a memorable occasion for many of us, but scientists are now claiming 3 glasses a week can help ensure it's a memory that lasts. Hmm. Researchers say that a healthy dose of bubbly can help against brain disorders such as Alzheimer's disease and dementia. And what they've been doing is... they have been doing this study on rats. I know it's something a little bit different. They're putting champagne into their food every day for 6 weeks. And after they get done with the rats that have had the champagne can actually navigate a maze better than the rats that haven't had. You know, think about a maze. We talk about how our workplace is all being mazes.
Right.
And the rats that have the champagne remember how to get to the cheese that's in the middle. But here's my favorite.
That means nothing to me.
But no, but ahead. See, here's what I love. Because of this fact.
Yeah.
They have gotten additional grants, and now what they're going to do is they're going to take 60 pensioners who are in the old age, they are over age 55, and they are going to have them drink 3 glasses of champagne a week versus
a week?
A week.
Okay.
three glasses of champagne a week versus another group that's not going to have any champagne and see where it winds up. And I've been thinking, I'm going to nominate you.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to write a letter to the grant and see if they will let you into this.
Well, now that might be fascinating. What I'd like to see is what happens to these old geezers when they're thrown in here to deal with you. That's what
they'll
be fine. After three glasses of champagne, they might be able to do it.
But see, I figure if we give you the three glasses of champagne and get you in with the rest of these pensioners, you can actually remember that you do produce a show called The Wine Crush and occasionally pay attention.
Remember to listen. That's right. It would be really, it might be beneficial to us all.
I think so. I'm excited about it. Yeah. So it's a great study. Now, granted, the study is over in Britain. This is from the Metro UK. But still, I think we have a shot. We ought to start a write-in campaign. Please let Kent Bernhardt be part of this group.
Okay. I'm with you.
Of course, my next...
You get me in, I'll do it.
Okay. My next question actually parlays itself into what we're going to be discussing today. Does it have to be champagne? Could it not be Cremant? Could it be Asti? Could it be Cava? Espumante? Could it be sparkling wine? Does it have to be champagne? And as I sat there and I went through the words I just went through, were all the words I used synonymous with champagne to you? I don't think so. And it's going to be very, very interesting to take a hard look at that. But we are going to have to do that after we take a small break. We will go into all the fun that we have with words and we will play with them a little bit to get us there.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
As you listen to this, a limited amount of premium wine is being sold up to 70% off with free shipping, and you're missing it. Get to a computer or your smartphone right now and check out Wine Still Sold Out, better known as WTSO.com. It's free to sign up with great wines, great prices, free shipping. You have absolutely nothing to lose. It's 100% guaranteed. As a family-owned business, WTSO prides itself on providing its customers only exceptional wines one at a time until sold out. Visit WTSO.com right now before the deal is gone.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. Call National Foreclosure Defense right now at 800-516-3405, 800-516-3405. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call right now. 800-516-3405, 800-516-3405. Call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now. 800-516-3405.
So you're sitting in your car or truck in traffic and it seems to be running fine right now, but how do you know it will tomorrow, this afternoon? Can you afford to miss that meeting or family event? Don't risk it. Z-Max it. Z-Max is the engine performance product that makes a good engine oil great and gives you the assurance your vehicle will keep running smooth and strong day after day, year after year. Why wouldn't you ride with Z-Max? Get Z-Max at your local retail parts store now or log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner near you. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking.
Hmm.
You know how I feel about alcohol?
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now it's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are focusing on words. Before the break, I had run some things by you, and I'm going to do that again. Cremant, Asti, Cava, Espumante, Mousseau, Cremant, Sect, Sparkling, Frizzante.
You sound like you're casting a spell.
Exactly, I am. And in doing so, that's exactly what some people have done to us over the history of sparkling wine. Now, if I look at you and say, hey, Kent, I'm ready to go have a glass of Sect, you're going to look at me like I have three heads and what is that? What is that and why do I want to go? Go have fun. But if I look at you and say, hey, listen, let's go get a glass of champagne, it makes perfect sense. And all this is stemming from the idea that when any of us think about bubbles, when any of us think about something that has, some frizzante, some little delicate bubbles in a glass, we call it champagne. But there's an article coming out in Harper's Wine and Spirit Trade Review. It's a great, great magazine for those of you who are interested in things like that. There was a story done. Over a third of sparkling wine consumers say there is little difference between champagne and Prosecco. Now, this is going to have the people in Champagne horribly, absolutely up in arms. Sparkling wine looks set to continue overshadowing its more illustrious cousin, Champagne, as the reputation of drinks such as Prosecco continues to grow, with over a third of Champagne and sparkling wine drinkers claiming there is little difference between the two. Do you know what? It's true. Everybody has this idea that if it has bubbles in it and it's good, it has to be champagne. No matter how you look at it around the world, whether it's a sparkling wine, whether it's German, whether it's Portuguese, whether it's Spanish, whether it's American, whether it's Portuguese, does not matter. Sparkling wine is created one way, the same way champagne is. 90% of the time, at least the stuff that's good. Yes, there's different methods to doing, but if you're looking at disgorgement, you're looking at bottle fermentation, the only thing that varies is, one, the place the grapes are grown, and in some regions, of course, the actual grapes that are going into the final mix. And so in doing so, all of us have been shoehorned into the idea that champagne is the only thing good with bubbles in it. I, of course, have been advocating against that. Regardless, Domaine Carneris Rosé is one of my favorite things on the planet. It is grown in California, and it's not allowed to have champagne on the label, so it has sparkling wine. And this brings me back to where I'm going with all this today. If consumers don't know a difference, really, between champagne and Prosecco, it tells me two things. One, that people are becoming more and more comfortable with the words Prosecco. They finally get it. If 15 years ago you had said Prosecco, no one would have known it. Now, of course, you know it's an inexpensive sparkling that's light and fruity and very easy to drink. But simultaneously, as Prosecco, sparkling, Sect produces, Cava, definitely we've seen the uptick in Spanish sparkling wines come through. This all started because France and the European Union decided that there were certain things that did not need to be on bottles that were coming from anywhere but the European Union. And what's interesting is that's actually still at the forefront today. There are some censored wine words that the EU is still fighting, saying that if you're not part of France, if you're not part of Germany, if you're not part of the wine-producing countries that are in the EU, you can't use. These are Surly, Noble, Classic, Chateau, Clos, Ruby, Tawny, Vintage, Solera, Crusted. This is the bulk of them. This is most of them. But that's why I made a point on my wine recommendation today to talk about Newton and tell you the vintage it was, to tell you it was estate, and to tell you it was classic. All of that is part of it. So if we're going to produce wines in the United States, and we want to be able to ship them over to our European counterparts, none of those words can be on it.
You say somebody censors these. Who does the censoring?
The European Union. They have gotten together with a group and said these words cannot be on labels that are coming into their country.
Okay.
The word vintage cannot be on a label. If it's coming from America and into the EU, you can't say vintage. Somebody explain that to me.
Yeah.
I don't get at all. Now, granted, this is where I was going with the champagne thing. Years ago, everyone agreed not to put champagne, not to put Chablis, not to put Burgundy, not to put those specific growing regions as generic terms onto our labels. I respect and understand it. But ultimately, when you had to pull the word champagne off anything made with bubbles, it meant you had to rename it. In a lot of cases, it was sparkling. In a lot of cases, it was Prosecco. In a lot of cases, it was Cava. Guess what, champagne? It's caught up with you. Now you're going to be surpassed. And going back to what the EU, explain to me why you can't have the word classic on a label.
Yeah.
So ultimately, and here's the best part of all this. Now, other wine exporting nations, whether it's Chile, Canada, Argentina, the Australians, they were in the same boat. In theory, they were not allowed to have any of these words on it. The EU has allowed Canada to put Surly, Noble, Classic, Chateau, and Clos on it. Chile is going to be allowed to have Classic, Chateau, and Clos on their labels. The Australians are going to be allowed to use Ruby, Tawny, Vintage, Solera, Noble, and Crusted. All right, so the Canadians can use the words, the Australians can use the words, the Chileans can use the words, but the Americans can't? I don't really understand it, and this is why we're doing a show today, to get down into the nitty-gritty of these words. Words are words. They do not define your reputation. In some cases, they can define a wine. Clos Vigeaux, but we also have Clos Duval. It means basically gated, fenced area. We're going to have those all over the world. So why are these being banned for the United States? I don't really understand. Languages are language. We are basically looking at English-speaking languages. So why are we going to be disallowed this? I want you to think about this. Think about the impact of words. But right now, we're going to take a small break, and we're going to take a break from me talking about words with Mr. Gustavo Gonzalez, the winemaker from Mira Winery, after this. As you listen to this, a limited amount of premium wine is being sold up to 70% off with free shipping, and you're missing it. Get to a computer or your smartphone right now and check out Wine Still Sold Out, better known as WTSO.com. It's free to sign up with great wines, great prices, free shipping. You have absolutely nothing to lose. It's 100% guaranteed. As a family-owned business, WTSO prides itself on providing its customers only exceptional wines one at a time until sold out. Visit WTSO.com right now before the deal is gone.
So with your Shop Your Way e-coupons, and after redeeming your Shop Your Way rewards points on this purchase, your total is $12.32.
Great. Here you go. And would you please send me an e-receipt?
Sure thing. Thanks, and have a great day.
Shop Your Way rewards members earn points on all qualifying purchases and get e-coupons, private sales, and so much more. Get your free membership today at ShopYourWay.com. Subject to full program terms, available at ShopYourWay.com.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
We're back with more of The Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out. WTSO.com.
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And right now, freshly back from digging up bottles that have been happily resting in the bottom of Charleston Harbor, we have Mr. Gustavo Gonzalez, the winemaker from Mira Winery. Gustavo, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hi there. Thanks for having me again.
I am excited. I have been counting down the days and planning this back, so I'm glad we got in touch with you. I am so excited and dying to hear about how our happy little cages and how our bottles did.
Well, the cages and the bottles did fine. They looked great, actually, coming out of the sea once we finally found them. It took about 2 hours to locate, even though they had GPS tracking on them.
Now, I had asked you about that in the last interview. Were you not worried about the tides carrying them out or making them go away? So you had some problems finding them?
We had a little bit because I guess the GPS, too, it's only good for, you know, around 10 feet or so. It can be off by that much. And so, you know, when you're dealing with a dark bottom of the sea there, it's kind of hard to figure out where those 10 feet might be.
Exactly what direction you're going. Hey, wait a minute. I know I left the car here somewhere.
Yeah, right.
It should be here. But no, so you actually found them. There was no damage. There was no issues.
Everything looked great. They looked really cool with all the natural stuff that was growing on them and the little crabs living inside of the cages and stuff. It's neat.
So you made some friends when you took your wine bottles out.
We made some friends indeed.
Better had some really great appetizers, one or the other.
I was thinking that.
See, next time, like we discussed, if you had done white wine, you could have just kept the crabs, found a chef on hand, opened some Chardonnay, and had the taste test right there. But we'll talk about that for your future plans. So tell
us.
We'll
do that in the future. It's because it definitely now seeing what this has led to or how the outcome of this, it's definitely getting us excited to try different things in the future, in the very near future.
All right. Well, give our listeners a picture. Give us a snapshot. You're out on the boat. You have found them. You have hoisted up the cages. What happened next?
Well, you know, it's funny. Getting there, it was kind of the conditions that caused ships to sink. We went through this thunderstorm where I thought I was in the middle of the Wizard of Oz, and it was just pounding down rain, and it was thunder. And we finally made it out to the spot, and it continued to drip a little bit. But worse than that were the gnats that they call no-see-ums in that
region. Yeah, no-see-ums, yes. Aren't they delightful?
And they were delightful, to say the least. But anyway, we finally located the cages after about 2 hours sitting there with the scuba team looking for, and we pulled them out. And we were very happy to see that they were intact, and it was exciting to see that they had age. They didn't look exactly like they did when we put them down. And when we pulled the bottles out with the barnacles around the wax sealing around the cork and whatnot, it was just such a cool moment.
I mean, the pictures, everything else. Hey, what? Real quick, while we're doing it, is there some place where our listeners could go to, whether it's on YouTube, on your website, and check out this process?
Yeah, please go to our website, miranapa.com, and you've got all the footage there from when we put the cages in February to now when we pulled them out.
All right, so question. We pulled the cages out. Did you lose any bottles? Did any get broken? Did you have any that were damaged?
Everything was in perfect condition. The only thing we hope for is that none of the bottles are corked.
We can definitely keep our fingers crossed on that.
Right.
Now, had you expected the barnacles to grow as quickly as they had?
You know, I didn't know what to expect, but it definitely exceeded any expectations that I had. I mean, I was really happy that the bottles looked the way they did because there's the natural art going on there. And I can only imagine what it's going to be like when we do the next batch that's going to be there for up to a year.
I would like to have seen the poor sommelier that had to open that bottle trying to get through the barnacles without cutting his hand.
Well, that was me. And, you know, the wax is not an easy thing to get through either to get to the cork.
No. So I assume we did it without any bloodshed?
We did it without any bloodshed, yeah.
Okay, so we have our cages. We have made it back to the dock. You have not been carried off by mosquitoes or no-see-ums. Did we go straight to a festival? Did we go straight to a restaurant so that we could open these up, or what did you do?
No, we went back to the office, and we put some labels on them because we wanted to be compliant. You know, we don't need the PCB coming after us. So, unfortunately, we had to clean a little bit of the bottles off to put these clean labels on, which, you know, for future reference, we're going to actually etch the bottle so we don't have to deal with cleaning them off anymore and just let the growth grow over the compliance information, and I think it's going to look pretty cool. So we took them back. We did that. We had some beers and some pizza while we were doing that. Let the bottles rest overnight, and then the next day we came back with an advanced sommelier from the area, Patrick Emerson, and we tasted the wines together and saw and compared it to the land version of it and came to some pretty interesting conclusions.
All right. You're nervous. You've opened the bottle. You poured it out. What was the first indication that there might be some differences between the two wines?
The aroma.
Right off the nose. Literally.
Right off the
you
nose.
Could
it,
get
it looked pretty much the same, but when you smelled it and it carried in through the flavor elements too, the wine was just a lot more. It was evolved without being aged, if that makes any sense. Like, the tannins were just broader. There was much more to the wine than the land version.
So it was deeper.
It was deeper, for sure. It was more complex.
All right, so we have smelled, and now we are tasting. Were the palates similar, at least? Could you tell they were cousins as opposed to once having been brothers? Or did you have a totally different reaching of flavors?
No, there were definitely similarities. You could tell that they were related. It's just the land version seemed to be focused more on the fruit component and the acidity and things like that, and it wasn't quite as open. Whereas the aquar that we're calling the sea aged one was just much more broad, much more deep. Had the fruit still, but the tannin just layered differently on your palate as it went down your throat.
Well, actually, I was going to ask that. I mean, do you have them renamed now? Have you? I mean, obviously, it's Mira Cabernet, no matter how you look at it, but is it version one, version two? Have you named it land, sea, or cattle? How are we distinguishing between these two?
We're distinguishing, when we first thought of this, you know, we coined the term, just joking around, aquar, because we always talk about terroir.
Okay.
And so we're calling it aquar, and it's Charleston Harbor is also on the label.
All right, so aquar, you're going to make us learn a new term. I like
that.
Yeah,
we're going to see if we can invent a new phrase here.
All right, now, because we're, okay, do you realize the can of worms you've just opened up? What
yeah.
if the aquar of Charleston is different from the aquar of Pacific Ocean or the Caribbean? Do you realize the problems you could be causing?
That was flashing through my mind the second the bottles were liberated from the cages on the boat, because we found tremendous things that exceeded our expectations, things that we didn't even expect. Like, we thought that the temperature was going to be the same the whole time. And in fact, the probe showed us that the temperature was about 55 when we put them in, and it was gradually warming up to about 70 degrees by the time we pulled them out. So the bottles, to the touch, were a little bit warm, right? So then we started thinking, well, how's that, you know, now we have this variation in temperature. What is that going to mean if we decide to do it, let's say, in the San Francisco Bay one day? Is that going to make a difference?
Well, you have to think about the currents. Think about the Atlantic Ocean warms up. There's just no two ways about it. There are temperature fluctuations. Pacific, not so much. So you could just keep them cold. Now, the question, because did they open up? Did they change? Because it was 55 degrees. We know that when the temperature of wine is raised, you start getting different elements. You get different chemical compounds. You get different esters coming through. Oh, you've caused more questions than you've solved, haven't you?
We've caused a lot more questions, and now this temperature thing, we were pretty focused on that in the beginning. One of the things that we wanted to keep constant was the temperature, because we were aging at about 57 on land. But now we're thinking, well, maybe the temperature, it's definitely important, but it's just another piece to the puzzle. It's not as important as we thought. And now we have a different variable thrown in there, which is the pressure difference, that maybe has a taming effect on the temperature. I don't know.
It'll be fun to find out man plans, God laughs. You can think of all kind of different variables. Hey, Gustavo, we have to take a small break right here. If you don't mind holding out over the commercials, I still have so many more ways to pick your brain and so many more questions.
Sure.
All right. Small break on the Crush. When we return, we will continue this fascinating discovery about Mira Winery and the wine from Charleston Harbor.
We'll have more of the Wine Crush presented by WTSO.com.
As you listen to this, a limited amount of premium wine is being sold up to 70% off with free shipping, and you're missing it. Get to a computer or your smartphone right now and check out Wine Still Sold Out, better known as WTSO.com. It's free to sign up with great wines, great prices, free shipping. You have absolutely nothing to lose. It's 100% guaranteed. As a family-owned business, WTSO prides itself on providing its customers only exceptional wines one at a time until sold out. Visit WTSO.com right now before the deal is gone.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and the trial offer ends soon. So call now. 1-800-566-6713. That's 1-800-566-6713. 1-800-566-6713.
Hear that? That's an engine running with Z-Max. Z-Max delivers ultimate engine performance you can hear and feel every time you drive. With Z-Max in your tank, you'll experience a smoother running, more powerful, better protected engine. And you'll see big savings from improved gas mileage. Take it from Max. Nothing works like Z-Max. Log on to ZMAX.com today and find the Z-Max retail performance partner near you.
Mozartosties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Standing in the dockets of Hampton, trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the max says you've got to go back.
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush. Brought to you by Wine Still Sold Out at WTSO.com.
This is The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now we are on the line with Gustavo Gonzalez, who has rescued the castaway wines from Mira Winery. Gustavo, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. So we have learned that we had new variables that we didn't anticipate. We have learned that the two wines taste different. But here's the question that I don't know whether you've answered, but everybody wants to know. Which one's better, the land wine or the water wine?
Well, I would say subjectively at this point, the water wine.
So in doing so, in learning that, we're just 12 months into the vintage. I mean, it, obviously, anytime we have Cabernets that are going to be held, I would say most wineries hold their Cabernets back at least, I don't know, a year, maybe two, into their warehouses and wait for them to grow up a little bit. Is this something where you see that perhaps we could take the 2013 vintage, put half of it underwater, and have it release earlier than you would release the land wines?
I think that that's definitely a possibility. Especially with our Cabernet, it seems to be, it ages a little bit on the slow side, and it's got a long way to go, at least the land age version. So it could be interesting to do that, you know, to see if by submerging in the sea we could release it sooner. But I'm not sure. The curious thing now is to see if it's going to catch up. You know, we're going to continue to compare these bottles. We put 48 bottles down. We've opened two. And we're going to continue to see if at what point the land version catches up, or do they continue along different paths.
Now, you have 46 bottles left to go, and I believe I read somewhere you're going to sell 12 of them. We'll get to that in a second. So how often are we going to pop a cork and do a comparative tasting?
I would imagine we would do it at the latest every 3 months.
All right. Now, are these someplace safe? Are these someplace special? Are they locked up behind, you know, certainly lock and key?
They are locked up behind lock and key in the dark.
And I assume that you're the only one that has a key to it, right?
That's right.
All right. Now, I am fascinated that y'all are going to actually sell 12 of these bottles.
When we first, the story first broke about the bottles going in, we immediately had a bunch of response about people wanting to know how they could buy it. And so we weren't sure we wanted to sell any, because this was just phase one, and the idea was to test the equipment and make sure that we can locate the bottles again. But there was just such a response and such interest from people in our wine club and whatnot that wanted the bottles that we decided we're going to put 12 of them up for sale.
Well, it's smart. It does make sense. And I have two questions on this, and I don't know which one to ask first. My mother has always told me I'm horribly uncouth, so I'll start with the uncouth question first. The question is, I assume that the aquar, the water-based wine, is not going to be sold at the same price as the land wine.
No, we don't have a price determined yet, but it's going to be somewhere between 100 and 1,000, let's say. We don't know.
See, to me, too, this would be just a great charity auction item. I think this
right.
would just be something fun to have, you know, just something different to get your name out there, which actually is the next question. I mean, obviously, this was done in the name of science. This isn't a marketing gimmick. And we discussed that last show, that I like the fact that you're really doing this to try and further the scientific background on wine. But have you seen an uptick in phone calls? Have you seen an uptick in your wine club? Because people say, hey, wow, I heard about this. You did this in Charleston Harbor. This is really cool. Have you seen your membership and your inquiries grow?
We've definitely seen an uptick on our website traffic, especially the day that the story broke last week about us pulling the wine out of there. I haven't looked into the wine club memberships, but there's definitely been a lot of movement on the site.
All right, so we have done it. We have successfully tested Cabernet. You are going to do my Chardonnay next, right?
Well, that's one of the things that Patrick Emerson and I discussed last week, of how it would be interesting to include a white in there.
Gustavo, don't make me stalk you down. It's very ugly when I get stuck stalking people.
Yeah.
But you definitely need to do a Chardonnay. You need to branch out. You need to try some other things. I mean, this is a great learning tool for everybody out there.
I agree. And so I think what we're planning to do is to go back with more Cabernet. And this time it'll be stuff that's just recently bottled. So it won't have the benefit of having been land aged at all. It'll go directly from California to South Carolina again and right into the harbor there. But I'd also like to see a case of Chardonnay, and maybe even Syrah as a trial.
The Syrah would definitely be fun. Syrah, how it ages fascinates me. I like
yeah.
how it opens up at different angles. Now, at what point are you going to get? But by the time you realize that the water aging in Charleston Harbor has garnered you outstanding wine that's fast drinkable, and all of a sudden you're shipping half your vintage over to be sunk in Charleston Harbor, at what point are you going to get in trouble with the people in Charleston and the Harbor Master?
Hopefully never.
Okay.
But maybe, you know, what we were talking about earlier, that there's so many different waters to try, maybe if we just keep jumping around, we'll never get caught.
Well, I don't know if I asked you this, but the logic does dictate, I mean, bless your heart, you're in Napa. Why don't you just go to the Pacific?
It's something that we definitely want to try in the future, is to do something just here closer to home.
Well, it would make sense. I mean, we love having you on the East Coast. It's fun for you to come visit. We can do all kind of fun things. But it just seems like it would be a whole lot easier to, I don't know, drive 20 miles as opposed to 2,000.
It would be, and it's definitely, you know, in the plans for the future. But Charleston is such a cool place. It's such a fun city with so much going on from a restaurant point of view. And there's so much history there in the harbor anyway with, you know, going back to the English days with the ships coming in there and whatnot. So we thought it was a pretty good backdrop in that regard.
Absolutely. We love our friends in South Carolina. Well, I am just really excited this worked out. I had all these worst-case scenarios. Oh, my gosh. You know, shark tank, some shark's going to have run off with it. Somebody's going to have stolen their wines. It's going to be broken. I do have a strange question. You said that next time you're going to etch the bottles. You said that,
yep.
You know. Have you given any thought to the fact that once you etch the bottles, you're going to weaken them and the pressure may get them?
Yeah, we thought about that, but it's another thing to try, I guess. If it's a new twist on the equipment that we're using, and so if that doesn't work out, we'll know for next time. Don't etch them.
You realize you have earned yourself a place as a regular guest because we're going to have to get updates. Who knows? We may update you on our website, see what you are sinking in any random interval. But, Gustavo, thank you for being on The Crush today. And there will be a link to your website on our website so people can go check out, watch the winery, retrieve the wine, and see what all you are doing next.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
All right. Gustavo, good luck in your adventures, and you better have a Chardonnay next time.
I will. Don't worry.
All right. Hey, we're going to take another quick break here on The Crush, but when we return, we will wrap up today's show and discuss a little bit more about the idea and the differences between words and names.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
As you listen to this, a limited amount of premium wine is being sold up to 70% off with free shipping, and you're missing it. Get to a computer or your smartphone right now and check out Wine Still Sold Out, better known as WTSO.com. It's free to sign up with great wines, great prices, free shipping. You have absolutely nothing to lose. It's 100% guaranteed. As a family-owned business, WTSO prides itself on providing its customers only exceptional wines one at a time until sold out. Visit WTSO.com right now before the deal is gone.
Yards may be the cause of your mesothelioma asbestos lung cancer. You may not want to think about it, but you need to consider how to protect and care for your family. And the $18 billion trust has been set up to help mesothelioma lung cancer patients do exactly that. Let us help you take care of your family if you are not able to work any longer. To find out exactly how you may qualify to receive funds for your family, call now for a free mesothelioma lung cancer information packet.
800-215-6814, 800-215-6814, 800-215-6814, 800-215-6814. Danziger, Delano Attorneys, Houston.
So with your Shop Your Way e-coupons, and after redeeming your Shop Your Way rewards points on this purchase, your total is $1,232.
Great. Here you go. And would you please send me an e-receipt?
Sure thing. Thanks and have a great day.
Shop Your Way rewards members earn points on all qualifying purchases and get e-coupons, private sales, and so much more. Get your free membership today at shopyourway.com. Subject to full program terms, available at shopyourway.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood.
Hi-hi!
Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Now it's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Crush, and that was Gustavo Gonzalez, the winemaker from Mira Winery. And it is really, really fun for me to discuss the wine concepts that some of these wineries are coming up with. It's new. It's different. I'm sure people will argue, just like Kent said with the Titanic, that wine's been going down for ages. But to be applying new technology and new ideas to make wine better, I think, is outstanding. And let's tie this in with the word idea. Like Gustavo coming up with aquor instead of terroir. It makes sense. But it's a word he has created. It is something he had done, which is what people who have made wine have done since day one. To go back to the censored words, the very fact that tawny is on it, ruby is on it, the idea of very significant colors. It's not anything but a color when it comes down to it. Yes, there's a tawny port. Yes, there's a ruby port, but they're declarative. They're descriptive. Something like an aquor. Brand new word. I think you ought to trademark it, because we don't want to be in a situation where all of a sudden we put that on a label down the road, try and export it, and people are going to tell us we can't. Here's where we are. I can understand not naming a region. I can understand not naming, I'm going to call this Clos Vigeaux out of California, duplicating some grand scheme of things. But what I don't understand is letting the rest of the world bring their wines in when we're using wines that are not names, that are not proper names. They are everyday words. And this is where I think we have to draw the line. I'd love to get y'all's opinion, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me directly, lauralawson@winecrush.com. And I don't know if it's because we discussed Charleston Harbor and the wartime history that it had, but ultimately when I think about this and the EU saying, no, you can't bring your wines in if these words are on it, you know what I say? Screw them. Let's return the favor. All the way around. You won't let the people who have done business, Clos de Vaux, here in the United States, does an outstanding job and has an amazing reputation. Is it because Chateau Montelena whipped you so bad at the Paris Exposition that you don't want any American wines coming over with the name Chateau on it? Or how about vintage? You know, because vintage is so threatening. I say we return the favor. You don't let our wines over there that has these words on it. I say we don't let your wines over here that has those words on it. Let's see who's going to balk first. Let's see. When you cut off, Americans are the second largest wine drinkers in the world today. Let's see how fast you want to stand by not letting us use the word Surly, Noble, Classic, Clos, Ruby, Tawny, Vintage, and let's see how far that gets you.
I like your idea. We've got the United Nations on line two, by the way. We have to go.
As always, here on The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.